Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Panic and Treat, the podcast, is a personal podcast produced for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content reflects the host's opinions and personal experiences as new graduate nurses. It does not constitute professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
All patient details have been changed or left out to protect privacy in accordance to HIPAA guidelines. Any resemblance to real people is purely coincidental. The point of views in this podcast are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers, schools, or any organizations we are connected to. For health concerns or concerns of a general nature, please talk to a qualified professional. And with that, let's get started.
Hello, besties.
Hey, guys. It's Jess.
And it's Alora.
And welcome back.
This is the Panic and Treat podcast.
We gotta get better at that. We need a better script for that.
Right.
We'll get there. All right, today. So let's get right into it. So we're gonna start out with the name of the episode. This is called Teamwork Makes the Shift Work. And we're gonna kind of elaborate a little bit more on what we were talking about last episode.
Yep.
But before that, we have thoughts. We did some fun things over this weekend and we wanna let everybody know about it. Lead us off with Candle of the Week.
Okay, so our Candle of the Week is from Capri Blue. Look at how pretty she is, guys.
The lid is even nicer.
The lid is beautiful. This is grapefruit and Prosecco, and I wish y'all could smell it. It smells so yummy.
I know. I love our Candles of the Week. It, like, makes my day.
I know.
Every single time I pick one out.
Little ambiance.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we drinking this week, Alora?
All right, so this week we made a little TikTok video. Go watch that. But we made our own little, well, it's not like a dirty Alani. It's just a little witch's brew Alani with extra caramel.
Look at how cute
and
the
cups. Where did we get these? Target?
Target. No, Walmart.
Walmart cups. They were like $5. Go get yourself
They're
one.
Little bats. It's freaking bats.
We're getting into spooky season. We've given up on summer, like I said.
I know.
And then remember, first day of fall, September 22nd. Mark your calendars, everyone.
Coming, friends. So we wanted to tell you guys about what we did this week, and we've been dying to share with you.
Peep the shirts that we are wearing for all of our podcast listeners that are not wearing a shirt. It says, what, hydrated? What the fuck does it say?
Read it.
I can't read it.
Hydrated, medicated, or something?
Caffeinated, hydrated, and medicated. Guess what that's from. Guess. Okay, tell them.
What are we doing? Alora and her lovely mom, who is one of our favorite people, bought us tickets to go see Nurse John this weekend.
Oh, no, I bought these ones.
You bought these ones?
Yes. Okay. Mom bought the Nurse Blakes.
Okay, well, we'll give her credit for that one.
Okay. Give me credit.
Love you, Mom. We all went down and had, like, a little girls' night. We went to dinner and went to Nurse John down in Denver.
Oh, my gosh. We have some of the most amazing pics. He was such a fun person to watch in person.
And we... Mind you, he doesn't let you take pictures before, but, like, at the end, mm-hmm. he has, like, a spot where you can take, like, pictures and stuff, so we did.
Yes.
And then we took fun little pictures outside the theater. It was super fun. Mm-hmm. A nice little unwind moment and just to have fun with your friends.
Yes, on a little Sunday. It was perfect. So mm-hmm. I highly recommend Nurse John. We love you. Two, go see him. I don't know. Is he still touring or is
yeah.
he?
Okay. Yeah. Because I just posted new dates or whatever the other day.
I was going to say he was doing his international stretch. I know that. He said he was in Australia before this. But
oh, yeah, because our show got rescheduled because mm-hmm. of the fires.
Yes. But like I said, go watch them. He is fantabulous.
It was so funny. I ended up sitting separate from them because our tickets were bought at like different times or whatever.
Yeah.
But they sat towards the front and I sat up in the balcony and I could see the whole stage.
Which is so dumb. I wish they would have let us upgrade because there was a spot right next to us.
Oh, I know.
They would have just upgraded you. They're like, get over here.
It was fun. I had the whole row to myself. There was nobody next to me.
Spacious.
I was like, this is so spacious. But from up top, you could see everything, and, like, watching people's reactions was really funny, too.
Yes, the only, like, unfortunate, I was so close to the stage, but especially when, because they got down to, like, I'm not going to spoil it too much, they just had, like, a sitting down portion, and I had, like, a speaker box, like, right in front of me.
Oh,
and I was, like, skim it. Yeah, so I had to kind of, like, wiggle around a little bit, but that's okay, because there was only one girl in front of us, so we were just kind of, like, eh. But it's okay. That was so much fun. I cannot wait. We're going to go see Nurse Blake. Oh, yeah. In November.
In November. Yeah, we're
so there. More to come on that, Nurse Blake. We love you too. Shout out to us.
Pull Alora on stage, please. I will point her out.
I think we're sitting pretty close to that
one. I think we are sitting pretty close with that one all together this time.
Yes. The three of us. It's going to be perfect.
Our entire hospital is going to be at that one.
Yep. I cannot imagine the call outs.
Talk about short staff.
Oh, that'll be so fun. Oh, they talked about that during Nurse John. He was like, how many of you called in tonight? There were a couple girls that raised their hand. I was like, put those hands down.
Don't say that.
It's like, you don't know who's here. Oh, so funny. But anyways, we totally recommend going to see them. It's a great way to unwind.
It was super fun. And you were in good company. You were surrounded by other nurses.
Yes.
It was good.
And a lot of nursing students.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been me.
That would have been me.
I really wish he had done it. Well, obviously, I know he couldn't have with the fires and everything. But when he was talking about those nursing students and he handed the mic to them, that could have been me 6 months ago. And I would have been up there going, pick me.
The girl sitting down kind of like in front of me, like to the side, because I was like the third row back on the balcony, mm-hmm. had made signs. And when they had like everybody wind up the theater with their phones, they were like screaming. I was like, that's so cute.
I love
that. Little nursing students.
So at the end of the day, we totally recommend. Go see him.
It was fun. Also, like, do it with your friends.
Do it with your nurse friends. Yes.
Nurse friends are the best friends. Let me tell you. Yes.
They really are, aren't they? Well, let's start getting into that then. So this episode, we wanted to talk about kind of team dynamics. As a new grad, I feel like it can be kind of hard to, first of all, just be in your own role and doing your own tasks. But we wanted to talk about, like, how hard it can be to kind of delegate to other people and what you can delegate versus what you need to do yourself, and then how to help your team versus how they can help you.
Yeah, kind of add on to last week. What's the hardest part of delegation for you?
Well, I feel like a lot of people say it's like what role, like what their scope of practice is, but I didn't ever have that problem because I religiously look everybody's scope of practice up. Fun fact. If you don't, you should. Usually on wherever you're listening from, you've got your state nursing mm-hmm. website, and they will have the roles and responsibility of the, you know, CNA, the LPN, the RN, and a couple other things.
There's like a whole chapter in ours here, but yeah.
Yeah, but so you can always look there, but remember that your facility may not follow state regulation. Like, they may be a little bit more strict than state regulation, like what our hospital does. So follow up. So do the state first, see what they can do fully, and then follow up with your hospital and see what restrictions they have within that role. So I never had an issue with, like, knowing the scope because, you know, I recently just, like, graduated from, we both did, just recently graduated from being CNAs. Like, we knew what we were allowed to do, what we weren't allowed to do. But I just don't want to be in anybody's way. Like, I just remember how busy I was as a CNA. And sometimes it's hard to be, like, as a nurse, be like, oh, can I add another thing to your plate because I'm drowning over here and you're mm-hmm. accessible and you can do that. Mm-hmm. So I just like, it just kind of, it's like an in my head sort of thing, you know, like I just don't want to bother anybody.
I think the hardest part for me is I went from a CNA, so I know, especially on our unit, I know the demands mm-hmm. that are like the demands from other staff that our CNAs are facing on our floor. And I feel bad. I feel bad being like, hey, I need help, because I know that they're already helping other people and doing other tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got all my CNAs on my floor. I absolutely love all of you. We got some kick-ass CNAs on my floor, and I never see very many of them sitting down anymore. They're mm-hmm. always, like, in a room or running or doing something.
I would clock about 18,000 steps when I was working as a CNA. Like, same. I busted my little butt.
Same.
I worked just as, I literally clocked, like, almost 18,000 steps the other night. Running around.
The other day I was behind on meds, and mm-hmm. I had to call and be like, can you come? I walked this, like, this patient's in the bathroom, but I have to go do this. Can you come? And I just felt, for the rest of the day, I felt guilty. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's her job. And I know that, like, meds are more important than whatever they're doing. But I was like, I know that you're busy. Please come help me.
Please help a girl out. Yeah. So we get blood sugars. Like, we get our own blood sugars on the night shift, right?
Oh, that's nice.
My, Yeah, because, there's usually only one, and I usually only, sometimes I have four or five, diabetic patients, but usually I only have, one or two, so I just grab them when I'm going to go do
my this is going to sound horrible, hot take, I've never understood why we have our CNAs do our blood sugars, because I have to give them insulin anyway.
Yeah, I think why not have them and I think it's a me problem, I just don't have enough time management to, because, what if I'm doing something really important in another room and they just grab the blood sugar? And to all of our non-medical folks, you have to, poke their finger and take a little bit of blood mm-hmm. to see how much sugar is going on there. And within 30 minutes, you have to give insulin based off of that blood sugar.
Yeah, at least in our hospital. Because we do glucomander.
Yeah, at least, that's not even for just glucomander. That's just in general.
Yeah, but your floor is the... redoing the glucomander education, right?
I mean, yes, but no, because we had to relaunch it, and then we ended up being the floor that utilized it the least, even though we were the relaunch pilot floor. It
was that's funny.
Messed up. Yeah, they were so new, used it way more than you guys, and I was I'm not the doctor, I didn't choose that. Yeah. Anyways, not my problem. Mm-hmm. I just do the program, whichever one we are using, so we have 30 minutes to get that insulin in after the blood sugar. And I felt when I was on the day shift, I was having a really rough time, because I would be super busy and then they would grab it, as helpful as that is. But then I would be stuck somewhere for 45 minutes. And then by the time I got around to doing that insulin,
I had to
re-poke them. And I felt really bad because I'm now I had to re-poke you. You're probably not happy with it. Your fingers are bruised. I feel terrible.
We have the worst lancets. Oh my gosh, they switched to those blue ones.
Those are the only ones I've ever used.
Oh, really? They used one on me in the ER the other night, and I wanted to punch them. It hurt. Way worse than it would. We used to have, these, they were made by the company that makes our glucometers.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you could, turn down the depth of the, how far it pumps in.
I've seen those.
Oh, they were so nice, because, for you or me, who don't take our blood sugars every day, because we're not diabetic.
Very sensitive.
It's very sensitive. And it was just nice to be able to turn it down for them. But then also, the patients that have...
Well, where do they poke you? Right in the middle of your finger?
Right there. You can still see it.
Oh, I usually poke, right up here because I feel it hurts less.
Yeah. No, And then for your patients that have been years of lifelong diabetics,
mm-hmm.
you can make it go a little deeper because they got the calluses.
Yeah. Well, and they usually have some numbness at that point if they
also,
had it for a very long
what drives
time.
Me nuts? Why can we not use their dang Dexcoms?
Well, we actually do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, they told us we weren't allowed to do that on our
floor. Okay. So there's a caveat to that. They can't be in here for diabetic related problems. If they came in for something completely unrelated and they have a Dexcom and they have their own insulin pump and everything, we just have a sheet where we log it and they just.
Oh, yeah, we do that. But our patients that are on self-admitted, not a pump, they're not type 1, they're type 2. Mm-hmm.
We use it, yeah.
You guys do?
Yeah.
Oh, they won't let us use them on our floor and it makes me crazy. Because I'm that's what they used to treat themselves at home. That's what their blood sugars used to.
Well, we do one right at the beginning when they get admitted to kind of see if the machine is really off or if it's pretty calibrated. Mm-hmm. But if they match pretty closely, we just let them use that.
Well, fun fact, it's usually 25 off. And I learned that from the rep from the company.
Mm-hmm.
From our glucometer to theirs, because they don't have, it's not obviously control tested every day like ours is. So ours is super calibrated. So theirs is always 25 off, but they're always treating off of their device.
Yeah.
So why can't, it makes me crazy. Why can't we just use it?
I think we do. I think we're getting there.
Okay.
But I think there's a lot of liability in that too, which
I
is
know.
Why people.
Drives me nuts.
And we're very micromanaged at the hospital. I have to tell people that, especially when they come in. And I'm I know you do things a certain way at home, but I'm we micromanage. I was just having this conversation with one of my patients actually. Because he was mad because he takes regular insulin at home and he only does that twice a day. He
mm-hmm.
just has a set amount. And he was mad because we would poke him four times a day and we would administer insulin based off of those. And I was we just got to keep a really close watch on them because we give you so many medications that can elevate them.
I had a guy who was on metformin the other day and he was mad because the hospital is, a fun fact, they're now carrying metformin. They didn't used to. So they always put everybody on insulin.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor didn't know that because the med rec hadn't been done yet. And... he was mad that we put him on insulin. He's I've never been on insulin in my life. And I'm I know,
most
buddy.
Of the time they don't like to do metformin in the hospital because it interacts with so many other drugs.
Well, and it's not as controlling as insulin is.
Yeah.
And when you're sick, it goes up, right?
Yeah, we gotta micromanage and you gotta understand.
Makes me crazy.
At the end of the day.
Makes me crazy.
Anyways, at the end of that tangent.
Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay.
Sorry, guys. Jessica went on a very big tangent there.
On that soapbox. So, like, I take my own insulins at night. Or I take my own blood sugars at night. And I always feel so bad if I'm just swamped. And I'm like, I need you to take that blood sugar for me. I'm so sorry. No, that's not what you normally do. Because I usually do it. But I'm like, help a girl out. I'm struggling so hard right now. Because my busiest time of the night is the first 3 hours, and I'm like, oh, it gets rough.
Yeah. We're talking about delegation, huh?
Yes.
So have you run into a spot where you like struggled delegating because you didn't know?
No,
that's good.
Like I said, I'm very much like, I will know your scope better than you do.
Alora's a rule follower.
I have to know. I'm like, I would be mortified if I asked you to do something
that you can't do.
And then you felt uncomfortable. No, because I expect you to say absolutely not. That is not within my scope. Like,
yeah,
don't just do it because I asked you to do it. Like, but that's why I'm so careful. I'm like, I would be mortified if I asked you to go do something and you weren't allowed to do it. Like the other day, I had somebody with nephrostomy tubes. Mm-hmm. I don't see those very often at all.
Oh, we see them all the time.
Really? We don't see a lot of them. For our non-medical listening people, nephrostomy tubes are tubes that they like put like little stents into your kidney, like little tubes to help
drain it off.
Drain out all of your urine because
it's like an organ.
It's a last resort because usually a Foley catheter, which is what we would normally put in to help drain urine if you were having issues like that. If that didn't work, then they go to a suprapubic, which is like one in your belly button. Or it's not in your belly button, it's like below it. But and if that fails, then they have to do nephrostomy tubes, which that sounds like terrible to have.
It just sounds like it's a very permanent
it's a very permanent thing too. Like once you have them, like there's really no other resorts. Like you can wait and see if whatever's going on with the other sites like heal, but anyways, but my CNA was like, I don't know if I can empty those. And I was like, girl, I don't know. And I said, don't touch it then.
Yeah, if you don't know, don't do it. Mm-mm. Right? Call somebody.
Yeah. I was like, we could just look it up. Or it was a very slow night for me. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to change these. I was like, I'll just empty them every couple of hours when the bag gets half full. And we'll be just fine. I was like, just don't touch it because I don't know. And that's what I think all of our nurses should take away from this. I'm like, if your CNA does not know, and you guys can't look it up in a timely fashion and it's not right there, you just need to do it.
Well, and the part of delegation that I think we all kind of forget is if you can't verify that somebody can do something, so like if you can't watch them do the task for the very first time, they shouldn't be doing it. You have to verify, like you have to like watch your CNA do Foley care. Okay, they can do Foley care. I know they can do Foley care. Verify that they're trained enough to do Foley care and they can take care of my patients. Because you're ultimately responsible for that Foley care, right? It's done under you as the nurse. So,
well, no.
Well, but you know what I mean? Like you're delegating that task and you have to make sure it got done after it was delegated.
Yeah.
So, I think that's like a big thing is making sure that the person you're delegating it to is competent enough, has been trained enough to do the task that you're asking them to do.
Yeah.
You know.
So what is some things that, like, if you're a new nurse, you're brand new to delegating, what is your, like, biggest advice? Would you go and ask your CNAs, like, what their scope is and ask them what they could do? Or are you playing it by ear?
I'm playing it by, we have a lot of CNA 2s on my floor because a lot of them are going to be, they're not going to go to nursing school. So a lot of our CNAs are going to be CNAs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they made them CNA 2s, which in our state just means they took some extra classes and they can do extra tasks that normal CNAs cannot do. One of the things that they can do that I find really helpful because I hate doing it because I'm critical of myself is IV dressing changes.
Oh, really?
If there's a wrinkle in there, I gotta take it off and redo it. It drives me nuts.
I'm just like afraid the IV's gonna go bad immediately when I put it on. I'm like, oh no!
They're horrible. There's two CNAs on, or three CNAs on my floor that I'm always like, hey, I got IV dressings, you want to go do them? And they love it because it's not a task.
Like they're normal tasks.
And it's not a task that I've learned a lot of nurses aren't delegating to them.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, hey, do you have time? Do you want to go do it? Because if not, I will. Mm-hmm. I just, I'm a crazy person and it takes me forever because I want it to be perfect when it goes on there. And every time they've done it, I've gone back and flushed it because they can't flush it. They can only do the dressing.
Yeah.
But I've gone back and flushed it and it's still perfect. Still has good blood for return. It's great. They do a great job.
My biggest pet peeve is hairy man arms. I hate them so much. Nothing against the men.
Trick. Have you tried putting the foam hand sanitizer? You put it over it and let it sit for a second before you peel it back?
I would usually just do the alcohol swab. Like,
oh, no, this comes off like, you pop it right off. It's fantastic. Try it. Just one little hand.
I tell the free wax service and... try my best and I go this just works faster if I do it fast, and they're like, just do it. Okay, I'm gonna try that next time. We're gonna see how that goes.
Yeah,
because honestly,
what
are we gonna lose?
One of the seasoned nurses on my floor taught me that one.
If that's not part of the policy, you didn't fucking hear from that. That's very hypothetical around here.
Yeah, hypothetical.
Guys. Hypothetically.
Wink. But it's alcohol, right? So it's the same thing as using the alcohol swab.
I know, but I'm like, I don't know about that.
You know? Pull me in an office, it's fine. Tell me I can't do that.
Stop it.
Just tell me I can't do it and I won't do it anymore.
It's for the better of patient care.
But yeah, no, she taught me that, and patients are way happier with taking their IVs out after I started doing that.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
Try it. Just try it once and see if you like it.
Do you do it on everybody, or do you just do it on the hairy man arms?
Hairy man arms.
Okay. I'm going to try it.
And sometimes my little ladies, if they, you know, like, they got that really fragile skin, and I hate taking IV dressings off the little ladies, because I'm always scared I'm going to hurt them.
Anything could end up being a skin tear, and you're like, yes. Man, I feel so bad.
Yes, and somebody said that you can, like, pull the corners of the tachyderm and pop it, and it'll, like, lift up, but I've tried that, and I can't get the corners good enough to pop it, I think.
I just would be afraid of dislodging the IV. That's like my biggest.
Yeah.
I hate doing that. I'm treating it like it's surgery over here. I'm like, nobody move.
I pull the stool
don't
over.
Don't breathe in my direction.
I pull the stool over and I get all serious and I sit down and I'm like, okay, give me your arm.
I'm like, you look the other way. Don't breathe in my direction. And just stay really still.
Don't touch it.
I was like, do you want a new IV? No. Then we'll work together on this.
You know what drives me nuts? When you're like, don't move, I have it out. And you know, you have to like sit there for a second while the CHD dries. Mm-hmm. And then they start moving and the thing, and I'm like, you just ruined it.
I know. Or they're being very helpful and they blow on it for me.
Like,
and
I go, you're like, now I have to scrub it again. Thank you.
I'm like, don't do that. I'm like, I told you to look the other way. I meant that. Yeah. Oh, I'm like, off track. I hate midlines. They're the pain of my existence.
Why?
Because I feel like, at least at our facility, like, they're always so positional. I'm like,
if it's a couple days old, it doesn't have blood return anymore. Because it flushes nicely, I'm like, the vat team was like, it's okay to use.
I know, but the thing is, like, it's in that first few days where it should have blood return, where they're like, just do arm yoga. And for all of my non-medical people, that is when we have this, like, long catheter that goes in your arm.
It's a longer IV.
It's just a longer IV, and they put it kind of in your upper arm. And arm yoga is you like flexing it, or me making you put it all the way, or wiggling, or I make you turn your head and I make you cough. All these things just to make sure we can try and get blood return on that IV to make sure it's still in the correct place.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, no bueno.
We do that with picks and ports a lot too.
Yes, but I hate them. I hate them. I'm like, I quit. Oh, I do. I guess picks too. Picks I don't usually have an issue with as much. Man, those midlines.
Have you done calf flow yet?
No, I've never had to actually.
Oh, so calf flow
I called once and they came up and they actually just did it for me. And I was like, thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
But I don't know. Describe it. Tell me how you do it.
So when I was doing clinicals at the cancer center, we had to calf flow somebody. This poor guy had to sit there for like 2 hours. We went through 2 tubes of calf flow to get his port working.
Do you know how expensive that is?
Yes. And they ended up doing having to do like a vascular flow study on him to see what was going on with his port.
Yeah.
But I felt so bad because we did all of the things. We did all of the yoga. He was like up and down, moving around in the chair. Mm-hmm. We laid a bag. It was crazy. But it's a little tiny syringe. It's super cute. It's like the ones they use on the babies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bright yellow. And calf flow is heparin. It's just, it's like, I think, I don't even know, I'm not even gonna say the dosage. It's like a low dose of heparin.
Okay.
But it's what we use to heparin lock them for, to take their port out.
Got it.
And they just like put it in there and you just let it sit and you like like, you leave it attached to the line because you don't want anybody to use it because mm-hmm. they don't need the heparin. It just sits yeah. in the line and breaks up all the blood clots in there. Or, like, it. Anything that could be clotting it. And then you just, like, pull it, kind of move it around a little bit.
How long do you wait?
30 minutes, you check it, and then an hour, and you check it, and then I think you have to start over.
Okay.
Don't quote me. I haven't looked at the policy completely. That's okay.
I don't give it very often at all. You know, knock on the wood. I don't have any wood in here. Knock on the steel. But hopefully. Yeah.
I always call another nurse.
Oh, it's so expensive. So I always feel so bad.
Really?
When we have to get, yes, it's like $2,000.
Oh, my God.
Don't quote me on that, everybody. I don't actually know. Well, I mean, that's just what the vet team has told me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, call back.
I would have to see a statement. But.
Call back. I mean, most of our nurses, a lot of our nurses on our floor are port certified, so they know how to do it.
Yeah.
So I'll call one of them to help me.
The only other times we've had to, like, usually the vet just does it because they're, like, they're usually not very busy.
Oh, that's good.
Thank goodness when we call for those, like, and they're just like, we'll just do it. And I'm like, cool.
Listen.
Go for it.
After they put that ultrasound guided IV in my arm for my surgery. Every time.
Yeah, every time on back.
Oh, that was so nice. Oh,
well, that's another thing I wanted to talk about. So I hate putting in IVs.
Really?
I'm gonna out myself. I hate doing it. Because, and I think this will be, I think every new grad could kind of relate to this. Like, I'm a year into this and I still fucking hate doing it. I feel like I can never actually feel the veins. Does oh. that make sense? Like, everybody yeah. says, like, you can poke and it feels, like, all bouncy and everything. But I'm like, the whole arm feels bouncy. You're very good at putting in IVs. That's why I'm asking you.
Only because I keep trying.
Yes, I know. I do that too.
I try I'm actually all my pokes.
Folks, don't say that I'm bad at this. I'm actually very good at putting in IVs. It just takes me 10 million years to find a spot that I'm comfortable with. Whereas I feel like other nurses go in and they take one look at the arm and they go right there.
Sometimes.
And I'm like, how did you see that?
Sometimes. I can't feel a lot either. But.
Oh, yeah, because you have, like, the neuropathy.
Yeah, lupus is off. Makes my hands all messed up. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, Jessica can't open a lot of things. I'm always like, can somebody open this for me? but I usually will put tips and tricks. This is what I've done. I put the tourniquet on mm-hmm. and kind of have them like dangle their arm for mm-hmm. a minute while I'm sitting. Because I have to set everything up because I don't have the dexterity anymore to like hook everything up. So I always like hook my flesh up so that all I have to do is like push and pull, you know, so yeah. Once I get blood return, I can, you know, do the thing because I can't hook it up. And we have those Pivo IVs, so they're like different, but I let them hang. And then sometimes if it's like a little granny and she's got really bad veins, I'll get like a warm pack of wipes and like hold it on her arm for a minute because mm-hmm.
that little vasodilation
pops it up and then you can really see stuff. But if it's deep and I can't get a good feel on it, I won't poke it.
Yeah.
But my favorite.
Okay, so do you feel like you go for veins you can see more or veins that you can, like,
veins that I more? Veins that I can for sure I know it's a vein.
Okay.
One of the girls during clinical, and she doesn't go to ours, she didn't go to our school, but one of the other girls that was there as a student when I was doing PACU got an art line accident. She poked an art line.
No.
And I was like, that looks weird because it literally, like, the blood goes in and out. You can see it. You know you're in an artery.
Like in the little.
Yeah. In the little. Well,
okay.
Like,
so like, okay, so if you have the whole line and everything, like, mm-hmm. is it just where it's flashing that, or if you like the, let the blood run out into the actual line, is it going to like pulse in the line?
Yeah.
Too? Oh, gosh.
I was like, what's happening? And the nurse was like, you're in an artery. And we had to hold pressure on that for quite a while.
It's like over 5 minutes.
Yeah. I was holding pressure while she tried on another one because it was she got her second poke, obviously. Our facility has like a 2-poke rule. Sometimes Jessica gets crazy and I'm like, oh, I know I can get it.
Oh, God.
And then I call the vet team and I'm like, we're getting it.
You're like, it's right here. You're like, it's right there.
It's always like when you get it and it hurts, obviously, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they jump and it like messing up
blows right there
and you're like, oh dang it, I had it.
My least favorite part about putting in an IV is when I have a perfect vein and I inch it in and it just blows right there and I'm like, oh my God, it was beautiful, and then it wasn't. And I've usually shot myself in the foot because I'm like, we got it, and then I'm like, oh, I lied, it was me, my bad team.
I always try not to go for the AC either unless I have to.
I try not to
because The pumps, man. The pumps.
I'm like, I'm on top of it. I'm like, if it infiltrates, like, usually, you know, an AC won't infiltrate, but.
Yeah, those suckers are huge, though.
But I'm like, God forbid it did. Mm-hmm. And I need access for some emergency reason. I'm like, I don't like to use them.
Yeah.
Fair. Like, that's for emergencies.
That's an emergency spot on the floor. Yes. No. I had a good streak where I was getting them, and then I had a streak where I wasn't, and I was like, I figured out I like to be under pressure, so I was grabbing the CNAs. I'm like, well, you can watch me put this baby in, and they're like, what? And I'm like, just, I need the pressure of you watching me.
I know, I was talking with my church nurse, and I was like, I need a PRN med spa job right now.
Right? Like, I just want
to put in more, well, because we don't put them in very often on the floor, honestly, like, they last a good a little amount of time.
Yeah.
So I'm not very often putting them in. And if I am putting them in, like, half of the time, it's just people who are just literally so dehydrated that I have to get that to come do a deeper one anyways.
But I wish we had those hydration. Do we have those hydration bars here where you can go get the IVs?
I think there's, like, one or two.
We should get a PRN job.
But, yeah. But then I was like, but then my church was like, just apply to the ED. And I said, no.
No, ma'am.
Absolutely not.
We should, after we get back from vacation in January, we should get a little PRN job.
But then I was telling her, and I was like, I just don't know, because if I miss the IV on the hydrated people, I feel really bad about myself.
Well, one of our nurses works at the endoscopy clinic in town, and she's really good at putting IVs in, because she does it all day there. It's like pre-op.
Just got hired?
No.
Okay.
No. One of our seasoned nurses. I know who you're talking about. No. But that's the clinic that she works at, PRN, and she does all the pre-op stuff there, so she puts them in all the time, and I'm always like, I need you to help me. I can't get this. She's the one that taught me the dangle the arm trick thingy. Instead of being like,
I wish I had a little PRN job where I could just go put in IVs all day long. That way I could get better at them.
Hone that skill.
I know, but that's okay. That's a later me problem in life.
Yeah.
But
so,
like I said, I get them, but it's not a pretty process.
So back to the teamwork makes the shift work, right? Mm-hmm. What's something that you like to do on your shift if you have time to be a good teammate to your other teammates on the staff or on the shift that week?
I usually try, because, you know, everybody's got to go to the bathroom at shift change. It's just like it's a law around here. It doesn't matter if they just went half an hour before. Suddenly everybody's in the room and they're like, wow, now that you're here. So I like to, if I have time, I like to do, like, the first round of, like, bathroom breaks for everybody.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because the CNAs are so busy getting the vitals and everything. And I remember being a CNA. And every single room I walked into was somebody needing to go to the bathroom. So it would take like 3 hours just to do the vitals for 12 people. And I was like, dude, this is exhausting. I'm like, this is so much work. So at least for my patients, I like to try and do the first round if they need to go that way. Like the girls can just get their vitals and roll out.
It's when it's 6 o'clock and we know it's shift change, I like to go in. When I'm doing my last round, I'll be like, do you have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, and I was going to say, I do that in the morning, too, at 6 a.m. when everybody's starting to perk up. And I'm like, hey, I'm like, shift change's going to start in 45 minutes. I was like, whatever we need to do, we probably should do it now. That way we're not...
Not waiting. You're interrupting. Not waiting,
we're not interrupting the girls in the morning. Like, I'm trying to help their flow a little bit more.
Yeah.
I also like to do my pain meds. Like, if they're... Mm-hmm. If it aligns like that, you
5:45, I'm looking to see. I'm like, does anything...
Yeah, I'm like, if they haven't asked for anything all night, I like to go in at least at, like, 6 o'clock and be like, are we still okay? Or are you just like being...
Are you tired?
Yeah. No, I was like, are you just being like a little bit of a martyr right now? I'm like, I have pain meds if you want them. I really do.
And don't be like Jessica and end up in the ER in excruciating pain, guys.
So like if they haven't asked for anything for pain, I like to double check, because I hate during the shift change when I'm like, oh, they haven't reported any pain all night. Like they're doing great.
And then they look over and they're like, by the way.
And then suddenly they're like, I'm actually having 10 out of 10 severe pain and I want morphine. And I'm like, cool, you couldn't have said that literally 45
minutes ago when I asked you. Rude.
I know, and it just makes me feel incompetent. I'm like, I swear to God, I've been asking all night and they've been saying no. And I was like, I do not withhold the pain meds. I'm actually just like, if it's there and I can give it to you, I will. As long as you say the right things, because I'm not giving you morphine for your 2 out of 10 pain, my friend.
Right.
Not doing it.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think of anything else. Oh, we had one night where we knew that the night shift was going to be short-staffed. And we went around and put blood pressure cuffs on everybody.
Oh, you guys just didn't take the vitals?
Well, we did. So we went around and, because we were charged off on days, but nights was going to be way worse.
Okay.
Like, we had a really bad night, and it was, or a really bad, like, week of shifts where we were just, like, awfully short-staffed, and there was no resource available. Like, the whole hospital was short-staffed.
Mm-hmm.
So we all, like, formulated this game plan. We were going to go around and put the blood pressure cuffs on, hit the buttons, and then when we went back to do report, we took them off.
And, oh, that's pretty smart.
Oh, my gosh. It was, like, the best flow ever because we walked in, and
you're
I was,
like, a pit team.
I'm, like, hey, like a pit crew. Yeah, pit crew. I was, like, hey, here's your nightmare, so let me take that stuff off. And as I'm, like, talking, you know, and I always, before shift change, like, that 6 o'clock hour, I go and make sure all my IV lines are labeled appropriately or if they need to be taken down, like,
yeah,
like, Rosefin, we give, what, every 24 hours, so I'll take that one down.
Yeah.
Or, like, I just make sure everything is, like, pristine. Because there's nothing worse than coming on shift and being like, oh my God, what happened in this room? There's like 10 packs of wipes and they're all over the room. And, you know,
I'm literally, like, there's shit on the floor.
Yes. And you're
there's
like,
there's
oh
lines
gosh.
From 3 days ago.
You're like, did you have a bad shift? Because I'll do that while people are giving me a report in the morning. I'll start like throwing stuff away because I'm like, you must have had a bad shift because you don't usually leave a room like
that's
this.
That's usually the nice thing on the night shift for me is that
you have that time.
Well, and usually everything's expired by the time like they're like it's getting to that point because, you know, we have 24 hours. So they start things on the day shift. It ends on the day shift. So I just get to throw everything away. I'm like, yes.
Well, in the CNAs on the day shift are really good about going in and wiping surfaces down.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, housekeeping obviously comes in, but
yes, they have a wonderful housekeeping team.
We do.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to EVS. They're great.
Yes.
But our CNAs, I noticed, like, housekeeping team will come in the morning, and they do, like, their round where they get all the trash and stuff. Mm-hmm. But at 6, our CNAs go through and get the trash again. So it's kind of nice because sometimes they don't have trash to take out because the night CNAs had time,
yeah,
and they took the trash out. And so they're only getting, like, little tiny trash bags from, like, that trash can under our sinks,
mm-hmm,
because the CNA already did it, and I'm like, that's so nice, that's so helpful.
Yes, I love when everybody's just working together like a, yeah, beautifully oiled machine.
I know, it's perfect, and the patients love it. But yeah, that night we were like a little pit crew. We just like did it all. It was great, and it made the night shift was a disaster anyway for them. They had a really rough night, but we knew they were, mm-hmm, gonna have a rough night, so we're trying to do like little things to make it so it wasn't so rough for them.
Yeah, like all the little menial, yeah, tasks.
I think they only had like one CNA. That's why we did it. They had like one CNA for the whole floor. And everybody had, yeah, two total cares. And they were all like maxed out. It was bad. It was a bad night.
I know. I've been there a lot.
Gosh.
A lot, actually.
Come work with us, guys.
Get hired.
They're hiring. We need, I promise.
We need nurses we on need the floor.
Nurses and we're fun.
Yeah, but like I said, I clocked like 18,000 steps the other night. Just, we didn't even have total cares. It's just sometimes it gets very busy and you really need to know, like, what, like, you just need to work together really well with your people.
Yeah.
My advice is building, like, a good professional rapport. That way, delegation becomes a lot easier. Because you can know what somebody's scope of practice is and you can know, like, what they're allowed to do. But sometimes, if they don't like you, it makes life so much harder.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard when you know, like, if you're going to get pushback when you ask somebody to do something. So being able to have those hard, back to the constructive criticism, being able to have those hard conversations and talk to people through things, at least to have a good enough working relationship that you can appropriately ask people to do things that are, mm-hmm, below you or like that work with you, you know, like your CNAs and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're like having beef with your CNA, it's hard.
You know,
it's hard to work together and take care of people when you're struggling. And our job is a very emotional job.
Especially if you feel like, I had this problem at my last job before I came to the hospital. I worked at a long-term care and gosh, every CNA, it was right during COVID. So,
everybody was struggling.
And it was just like our entire halls would be just COVID and you would have people doubled up on COVID and you had to gown up for literally every single thing.
Oh,
it
gosh.
Was it was a lot. And then I think we still had to wear the N95s in the hallway, so you never took those off. And you were changing out your gowns every 5 seconds. Everybody got really burnt out really fast on that. And to some extent, I understand. But at the same time, I'm like, I know it's hard to come to work. But I still need you to give a draw. I'm like, you cannot come here and mess around and be lazy. I'm like, these people still need us.
Well, and this is their home.
Yeah. Well, not on my side. As the acute rehab side, remember?
Yeah.
So they were only with me for like two or three weeks at a time.
Oh, that's not bad. But for some of the other people that were there, the other residents that were, not to call them patients, residents that were there, that's their home.
Yeah.
And to know that somebody who's supposed to be taking care of you is not doing their all, it's kind of hard, huh?
Well, yeah, and it's just like you would ask them to do something and they would literally give so much pushback. Just for, like, doing the most menial test, I'd be like, could you just grab them a blanket? And they literally looked at me like I just asked them to, like, kill their child.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, whoa. And they had
also, if you don't like your job, find somewhere where you're happy.
Find a new job.
Seriously, you cannot go to work and be sad every day or upset every day. That is not good for your health.
No, and then it just makes everybody else, like, it just, like, you feel like you're walking eggshells around.
Yeah,
and like everybody else is walking eggshells around you, and it's just, it's a very toxic environment, so.
Yeah.
We got into it more than once over her attitude towards life and towards me.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, just, like I said, I know I don't deal with confrontation professionally, so.
Laura pops.
I threatened to walk to HR a couple times, and I was like, I
you
will.
You
want to
come with me? Let's no,
I'm like,
this
I'm
down,
like,
sister.
I'm like, we will talk. I really try to respect everybody to the most. She was just a lot. But, yeah, so back to my point. You got to at least be professional. You don't have to be buddy-buddy.
No, you don't have to be friends with everybody, but you have
no,
to be professional.
But you have to be professional. And I think courtesy goes both ways. I'm like, if they are, CNAs are really like if nurses are the backbone, then CNAs are the vertebrae and the backbone.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like, yes. We literally work just so closely with one another.
I can't do my job without the CNAs.
No.
There's
and
no
I
way.
I wouldn't even want to try. And just like having work both sides, I'm like, you have to be courteous. I'm like, they're going to help me out as much as they can, but I also need to help them out when I have time to help them out. I was like, We can't be lazy, because I would never want to be the nurse that is just sitting on my booty at the nurse's station scrolling when, like, I had the opportunity to help, and then my CNA literally is, like, talking shit behind my back in the corner over there, saying how much they don't like working with me.
Once again, people, don't talk behind people's back, just tell them.
Yeah, I'm like, you have to have that conversation.
Situation. It's going to make you feel better, and it's going to make them feel better. Just resolve the situation. Gentle coworker.
And if you feel like you can't do it with them face-to-face, go to HR.
Well, no, just...
No. Like, with them. I'm like, have the conversation and sit down.
Yeah, no, gentle co-working. I've been working on this for a long time. Someday I'll write a post about gentle co-working on our social media so you guys can read about it. But just taking the time to, like, calm down. 24-hour rule. Wait 24 hours. If it's still bothering you, address it. But most of the things are, like... And you never know what other people are going through. You never know.
No.
And even if you do know this person really well, you still don't know everything. So give people grace. Grace goes a long way. And sometimes it's
professional.
Sometimes it's really, really hard to give yourself grace, but it's really, really hard to give other people grace where we should. And I think as nurses, we should give more people grace.
I don't know. I think I give too much grace sometimes.
Do you?
I'm an excuser for other people a lot. I'm like, well, I know things are going on. But then I think back and I'm like, well, that kind of put me in a really bad spot, too. That wasn't nice.
Yeah.
I just wish, like I said, I've talked about this in past episodes. I'm like, I did so well as a CNA. Like, I really loved being a CNA. Didn't like the pay.
Yeah.
Didn't like the pay.
I think they should get paid more. I think everybody should
really
get paid more.
Literally, they should be making as much as me.
Right? They do as much as us sometimes.
They do as much as us. Now, different responsibilities, obviously, and that's why we get paid more to do what we do. But, oh, God, they need to be paid more. Okay. I wish I'd have been paid more. But I don't even know where I was going with that.
The amount of shit they deal with, literally.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of shit we deal with, literally.
Just poop everywhere.
Oh my gosh, I'm such a germaphobe these days. Like,
oh my gosh.
I literally go home and I'm like, if I could bleach myself down, I would.
What is something that works for you that makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside as part of a team? Like, what's something that makes you feel valued as a team?
So, I guess what makes me feel valued as a nurse is just having my CNAs thank me at the end of the shift. When we had a hard shift, because like I said, I do try to do those extra things, like take people to the bathrooms. Well, honestly, that's I don't even feel like that's extra. I feel like that's just what you should be doing. I'm like, you're a nurse. That doesn't excuse you from nursing aid tasks. I'm like,
yes.
The whole reason they have it is because you delegated it. Like, if you weren't there, you'd be doing it anyways.
CNA tasks are nursing tasks.
Yeah. And then I like to, and I check in with everybody a lot, and I make sure that they're doing okay. Everybody says they very much appreciate that. So I think that just makes me feel good, because I'm like, if you're feeling good, I'm feeling good.
Good. I think the thing that makes me feel most valued as a team member is at the end of the day when everybody, even if we have a rough shift, everybody's like, we did really great today, you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, we try really hard on our floor. I mean, even if we have moments where we're like, oh my God, today sucks. Like, I'm having a really hard time with this. Everybody on the team is like, we did good today. Mm-hmm. Like, we made it through the shift. And we did
survived.
We did good today. We survived the trenches. That's where we're at. I don't know. It's been rough at our hospital lately.
I know the managers were just talking about, you weren't at the residency class, but they were talking about how everybody had, like, very just low patient satisfaction scores, which is something we do at the hospital survey-wise. And they were like, every manager has just come together and said that it was a really rough, like, acuity level. Like, it's just everybody got very sick there. Honestly, I still feel like we're dealing with it. Summer is supposed to be kind of our, like, low census time.
In our hospital.
And we are completely full.
Yeah, it's been, haven't had any low censuses. It's been, we had a week of low census, and then after that has been, we have been running full. They were boarding patients in the ED.
Yeah. And that's just not something we see. Like, maybe at your guys' hospitals, like, if you're listening, is a little bit different. Just at our hospital, like, you know, historically, like, we just haven't had this much.
They had 101 babies in July.
I heard about that.
That's crazy.
I know. I would be on shift, and I'd be, because they do little twinkle bells every single time a baby is born. Mm-hmm. And, gosh, it'd be like 4 or 5 a night. And I'm like, oh my God, y'all are popping them out over there.
Well, a couple years ago, they were posting like the numbers of how many babies, and it was like 400 and something for the entire year. So 100 in a month, I feel like this year is going to be a really high number of babies.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got, there's a new grad in our residency class. She's a mother and BB nurse too. And she was like, girl, it's wild over here. And I was like,
they are popping.
I was like, I believe you. I listen to the little twinkles every every shit, and I go, welcome to the world, little baby.
Okay. Go see Nurse John if you guys are out there.
Go find see him. Nurse John. So book your ticket for Nurse Blake.
we're going.
We haven't watched his show, but
we're going.
The vibes, we're already predicting the vibes are going to be immaculate.
I'm telling you, at the end of this residency, I want a pink, bedazzled, pure wig.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. as we should. Mm-hmm.
I only say that because Nurse Blake has the giant bulb up here.
I was going to say we should bedazzle one for him so we can all match.
Oh my gosh.
Nurse Blake, we're going to bedazzle you up
here. Yes, we're going to throw it at you. We'll throw it at you on the stage.
No. What if you hit him and that's his
whole... That's not funny. He'll be like, oh, a pink bedazzled periwig. It's so great. We'll put Love the Pretty Periwigs on it.
Oh my God. Oh my God, we could do that.
See.
Nurse Blake, get ready for that.
Get ready for a pink bedazzled periwig flying your way, buddy.
We're not gonna throw it at you.
We're throwing it on stage. You know how, like, girls throw their bras on stage at rock stars? We're gonna throw a periwig at him.
We'll roll it onto the stage. We're gonna be that close.
we could buy them on Amazon, so it's great.
Okay.
They sell them on Amazon.
No way.
Yes.
Okay.
Like the little home systems, we'll just buy like the little replacement ones. Well, these little drinkies we made are really good. God, it was nice to see you.
Freaking amazing. But yeah, I think we're done for the week. I think we've yapped enough. Yeah. Put in the comments. Well, because, you know, we post on the YouTube and TikTok and Apple Podcasts and all that and everything. So if there's anything you're wanting to hear specifically, please do let us know.
You want to hear our thoughts on.
Or else, no, just in general. Like, if you got nursing topics that you want somebody to discuss.
About. Or if you have a fun story, we would love to start reading your guys' stories.
Mm-hmm. We're waiting. We got those Halloween ones coming in. Be one of them.
Yep.
Be one of them.
We'll post our email up above. That's where I'm going to post it.
wait, point to that again and smile. Okay. Thumbnail who?
Thumbnail who? We'll post that for you guys. Send us your spooky stories. I've been posting little stuff on Instagram, so go check us out on Instagram. Alora has been trying to get our TikTok to blow up. We're only at like 300 and something followers.
We're working on it.
So,
slow and steady.
If you have not followed us on TikTok, please go follow us. If you haven't followed us on Instagram, please follow us. Like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Alora's working really hard on our TikTok. like and subscribe. subscribe, leave us comments. It was nice to see you guys. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Love you guys. Bye. Bye.